Blog Talk Radio.
Kane is in the building.
All over the world, Obama keeps bringing that liberal drama. Failed policy after failed policy. God save the republic, we're not a democracy, alright. All over the world, Obama keeps bringing that liberal drama. Failed policy after failed policy. God save the republic, we're not a democracy, alright.
I'm always wondering what the founders, what they thinking. Where's our Washingtons, our Thomas Paines, our Jeffersons and Lincolns? Why you had the red carpet club partying and drinking? The USS Liberty is steadily sinking. So let me tell you what's really going on. Hope and change is code for your liberty's gone. Yes, we can propaganda for a socialist song. You need to realize he's breaking America's bond. His plan all along, and you need to realize that winning the future is just a future full of lies. He's wearing a disguise, let us drill in the gulf. Because behind the sheep clothing, you know that you're just a wolf.
All
right,
all over the world, Obama keeps bringing that liberal drama. Failed policy after failed policy. God save the republic, we're not a democracy, alright. All over the world, Obama keeps bringing that liberal drama. Failed policy after failed policy. God save the republic, we're not a democracy, alright.
The heart of a coward caught in foreign policy forgets we are endowed by your creator, no apology. Rules more like a king when we were just some colonies. The patriots are marching, creating the greatest following, especially with the president like Barack Hussein, who's proved he'd rather be playing a golf game than take care of the lame, the sick and heavy laden. Instead of helping Libya, he just spit on the nation. But what can you expect from a FDR clone with no guts? You lost our trust, you ain't got a backbone. Chicago is your home, it shouldn't be DC. We the people speaking up, tell me can you hear? We alright.
All over the world, Obama keeps bringing that drama. Failed policy after failed policy. God save the republic, we're not a democracy, alright. All over the world, Obama keeps bringing that liberal drama. Failed policy after failed policy. God save the republic, we're not a democracy, alright.
The rock is soon to set sail. Vote for always, just hope and fail. I'd rather have a tax break in any light rail. A police you can stick to with work on this campaign trail. It's issue with integrity, it's just very evident. Guantanamo being only one piece of the evidence. Flip-flops to D.C. would be a nice sentiment. Come this election, I hope we change the president, alright.
All over the world, Obama keeps bringing that liberal drama. Failed policy after failed policy. God save the republic, we're not a democracy, alright. All over the world, Obama keeps bringing that liberal drama. Failed policy after failed policy. God save the republic, we're not a democracy, alright.
Yeah, baby. It's me, Dr. C. Robert Jones, and you are, excuse me very much, live with the C. Robert Jones Conservative Radio Report. It is July 7th, 2011. We're here in beautiful Washington, D.C., planet Earth, third planet from the sun. In full disclosure, I'm not actually in D.C. I'm in old Alexandria right now. That's where I have a house here, and I'm just kind of, I like to say Washington, D.C., because it sounds a whole lot better than old Alexandria. However, I could walk, if I could walk on water like our great president, Mr. Obama, I could walk across the water, right across to the Watergate Hotel without getting my feet wet, and I'd be in D.C. So since I can look across and see D.C. from where I am, I like to say that I'm in D.C. because it sounds better. But in all honesty, I'm in beautiful Alexandria, Virginia. All right, here we are once again. Big news. Big news. It's coming. It's coming. Big news. No, it's not about Top Mom and how she's going to be out of jail soon and how she was hoping to get out today. And she was all smiling and grinning and laughing and joking, and then only to find out that she had to go back to the pokey. But she'll be out in just a few days and get ready to, you know, party like a rock star, out hanging out, chilling, and lying to beat the band. And she says she wants to have some more children, and it's all good. Am I right? It's all beautiful. Have some more children, you know. Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. I think she wants to party like there's no tomorrow. And for her, there probably won't be. She's probably going to – I find it very difficult to believe that she's going to be very successful at anything that she might be attempting to do. Southern Sense is in the house. My girl Karen is here. I got a whole bunch of my guests, folks, are listening on their computers and on their iPads and iPhones and all that. So here we go. So the big news right now, the most interesting news of the day is the Obama administration attempted to flex a little muscle today over the course of the week, asking that the Supreme Court block a Mexican man's request for an execution stay in Texas, and because it would make us look bad in the international community. That the international community should have a say in who we execute, who we try, and what sort of punishment they deserve. So Obama wanted this execution stay because he thought that we would hurt some feelings across the globe. Once again, how many calling cards does this guy need to lay down before you understand that he doesn't mean this country very well at all? Not at all. You know, he is about the bigger picture. Now, never mind that Mr. Cicida's, well, his victim, well, no, Ms. Cicida, his victim was found naked by authorities, and there was a 30 to 40 pound asphalt rock roughly twice the size of the victim's skull, lying partially on the victim's left arm. In court documents read, blood was underneath this rock. A smaller rock with blood on it was located near the victim's right thigh. A bloody and broken stick, roughly 15 inches long, with a screw at the end of it, was also protruding from the girl's vagina. According to documents, prosecutors said Cicida was drunk and high on cocaine the night she was killed, and that Leal offered to take her home. Witnesses said Leal drove off with her around 5 a.m., and some partygoers found her brutally nude body later that morning and called police. But this is the man that who committed this brutal act on this young 16-year-old. That Obama wants a stay of executions because he doesn't want the United States to look bad in the international community. The guy is on the edge. He is begging. He is on the edge, and that brings us to tonight's show title. That no drama Obama is losing his cool. I mean, how hard do you have to reach? Let me go ahead and talk about this for a minute. Humberto Leal, 38, a Mexican national, and convicted murderer, has since been moved to a holding cell a few steps away from Texas's death chamber, an indicator that he is hours away from lethal injection. Yeah, the death cocktail. That's right, and rightly so. He's set to die in Huntsville for the 1994 brutal rape and murder of 16-year-old Andrea Cicida. The White House is pleading for a stay in the case and has pitted Texas justice against international treaty rights. Do you hear what I'm saying? Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth? Not the victim, not the victim's family, not that they've suffered so much with the loss of their daughter, cousin, niece, granddaughter? No, it's international treaty rights. Now, the U.S. Supreme Court smacked him down. We have no, and I quote, we have no authority to stay in execution in light of an appeal of the president, presenting free-ranging assertions of foreign policy consequences. When those assertions come unaccompanied by a persuasive legal claim, smackdown. And that smackdown comes because Barack Obama called out for the entire Supreme Court in one of his State of the Union addresses. So he received a proper smackdown, and rightly so. And rightly so. Didn't he see that one coming? You call out the United States Supreme Court, accuse them of lying, right there, and they have to sit past without saying anything at all. So Obama goes ahead and calls them out and expects some a little bit of cooperation here. The United States of America comes first, folks. You know it. I know it. We dig it. But once again, the president of the United States is all about not the United States, but the international community. He's worried about how folks are going to feel about us putting this guy to death. Now, that might have worked out in his favor in Illinois, but certainly not in Texas, because Texas doesn't play. If you're going to kill somebody in Texas, prepare to leave the planet. Forget it. You're done. Leave the planet. Maybe you'll escape justice. Maybe. But Barack Obama is not about to persuade Texas, whom he has called out at every chance he could get, for some cooperation. It's just not going to happen. Nope, nope, and no. And I am so glad that the Supreme Court has struck down Obama's dubious claim of international sovereignty or whatever the craziness he's asserting. I tell you what, folks, the world is going to hell in a handbasket under this administration. It's just getting worse and worse. The guy knows no shame. None. We'll be right back. Right back. Wait a minute now. I still have something I want to say here. I forgot. I need to get this off my chest. The president has been called out by Representative Tim Scott, Republican, South Carolina. The Republican in South Carolina, Tim Scott, said that this president is looking to usurp congressional oversight to find a way to get it done without us. And by that, get it done, I mean the debt ceiling. He goes on to state that my position is that is an impeachable act. From his perspective, he says. He says, there is a lot of things people say. Are you going to impeach the president over that? No, but this is catastrophic. This jeopardizes the credibility of our nation. If one man can usurp the entire system set up by our founding fathers over something this significant. Do you agree? Do you agree? Because we talked about this yesterday, about the president of the United States of America being urged by supporters, Democrats, liberals, to bypass Congress and, I suppose, issue an executive order increasing the debt ceiling, completely bypassing Congress. And we talked about it, and we talked about the fact that if this occurs, then our system of government is no longer valid. How could it be? The call-in number is 347-884-8500. We'll be right back.
I am the nation. I was born on July 4th, 1776, and the Declaration of Independence is my birth certificate. The bloodlines of the world run in my veins because I offered freedom to the oppressed. I am many things and many people. I am the nation. I am 200 million living souls and the ghost of millions who have lived and died for me. I am Nathan Hale and Paul Revere. I stood at Lexington and fired the shot heard round the world. I'm Washington, Jefferson, Patrick Henry. I'm John Paul Jones, the Green Mountain Boys, and Davy Crockett. I'm Lee and Abe Lincoln. I remember the Alamo, the Maine, and Pearl Harbor. When freedom called, I answered and stayed until it was over there. I left my heroic dead in Flanders Fields and in the steaming jungles of Vietnam. I am the Brooklyn Bridge, the wheatlands of Kansas, and the granite hills of Vermont. I am the coal fields of the Virginias and Pennsylvania, the fertile lands of the West, the Golden Gate and Grand Canyon. I sprawl from the Atlantic to the Pacific, 3 million square miles. I'm more than 3 million farms. I'm forest, field, mountain, and desert. I'm quiet villages, and I'm cities that never sleep. You can look at me and see Ben Franklin walking down the streets of Philadelphia. I'm Babe Ruth in the World Series. I'm 130,000 schools and colleges and 326,000 churches where my people worship God as they please. I'm a ballot dropped in a box. I am an editorial in a newspaper. And I'm a letter to a congressman. I'm Thomas Edison, Albert Einstein. I'm Horace Greeley, Will Rogers, and the Wright brothers. I'm George Washington Carver, Daniel Webster, and Jonas Salk. I'm Walt Whitman, Thomas Paine, Tom Sawyer, and Walt Disney. Yes, I am the nation, and these are the things that I am. I was conceived in freedom, and God willing, in freedom I'll spend the rest of my days. May I possess always the integrity, the courage, and the strength to keep myself unshackled, to remain a citadel of freedom and a beacon of hope to the entire world. I am the nation.
We are Freedom Media Alliance. Freedom and entertainment defined. Find us on the web at freedommediaalliance.wordpress.com.
Okay, we're back. Hey, here's what's going on right now. There's a lot of talk that the Obama administration is running scared. The economy is collapsing. We're in deep financial debt. Democrats are running for the hills, who once supported the president. Middle of the road folks, independents, running scared too, leaving, running away. And Obama is pulling every rabbit out of the hat. He's playing every card he can to try to shore up some votes between now and election time. President Obama's very own Council of Economic Advisors recently released a scathing report on the impact of his near trillion-dollar economic stimulus package. Its analysis is that each job created or saved cost the American taxpayer a whopping $287,000. I would have loved to have gotten my hands on, just give me the $287,000. I mean, is anybody with me? Just give me the $287,000. I'll create my own jobs. I'll start another business and create some jobs. But, of course, I wouldn't want this administration to give me any money, because otherwise I'd be beholden to them and only them. it would have been much cheaper to simply write a check for $100,000 to each person who found a job or whose job was saved because of the president's stimulus, or rather fleecing of America package. That would have saved the taxpayers almost $500 billion. Yet this president wants Americans to believe that he is a good steward of taxpayers' hard-earned money. And while we're at it, Mr. Obama, let's raise the debt limit another trillion or so dollars so we can allow you to borrow and burn up hundreds of billions of other tax dollars that our grandchildren have yet to earn. Of course, the White House disputes its own economic counsel, as the White House knows that the very bad economic news travels very fast. Mr. President, if you believe your Council of Economic Advisors is wrong and did not factor in infrastructure, education, and industry investments to the stimulus fleecing of America package, what number is it that you and your other White House police masters believe to be accurate for each job created or saved? 200,000, 150,000, 100K per job? Mr. President, what is it? And since Mr. Obama breezed into the White House on a message of hope and change, he has increased the nation's debt by more than $4 trillion in less than 3 years, and has caused unemployment to rise, not fall. Now, blame George Bush if you want for all this bad news, but it is Mr. Obama's political neck in the economic noose, and the noose is tightening. Bad economic news is all this president and his fantasy-driven supporters have had to swallow since coming into office. This is the result of subscribing to bad economic advice and policies that purport that the Fed, not the federal government, not the free market, knows best. And here we have it, a president who is running scared, because he knows that he can no longer blame George Bush. He's even gone so far as to state that congressmen, that the Republicans are using the debt ceiling, and I quote, as a gun against the heads of the American people by extracting tax breaks for corporate jet owners. Does this guy think we're clowns, that we're a bunch of idiots? Corporate jet owners? I thought we touched on this. We touched on this a couple of days ago. Corporate jet owners. It's an oxymoron. First of all, corporations own the jets, not the guy who actually sits in there, like the CEO, the CFO, the COO. They just ride. They get to ride in the jet at shareholder expense. The shareholders of the corporations own the jets. Just like you and I who pay taxes own fighter jets. The military doesn't own the jets. The government doesn't own the jets. You and I pay for the jets they fly and the fuel that goes into the jets they fly by our tax dollars. The same goes for corporate jets. Now, there are a few corporate moguls who own their own jets. They're spending their own money. And they're spending their own money to pay for the jet, the pilot, the fuel, the hangar space, the maintenance. All those things pay salaries to folks and create jobs. This guy is pitting one group of people against the other group, thinking that we're too stupid to really understand exactly what's going on. Now, Representative Joe Walsh, Republican of Illinois, reacted to President Obama saying Republicans are using the debt ceiling as a gun against the heads of the American people to extract breaks for corporate jet owners. Here's what he said. I got it. Just to start, I'm amazed he used that type of analogy. If a Republican talked that way, the media would jump all over him. The man's got no shame. Look, this debt ceiling issue, this crisis, has got to be dealt with. We're not holding a gun to anybody's head. But I am not going to place another dollar of debt on the backs of my kids and my grandkids unless this city structurally changes the way they spend money. God bless you. God bless you, Congressman Walsh, because you're thinking about the big picture. And that big picture is the United States of America. Not your job. Not Obama's job, but the United States of America. And you know what? I'm really feeling love right here, right now. When I hear Republicans talk this way, conservatives talk this way, I feel good about America again. Because, you know, I've been pretty down on our situation for quite some time now since Obama took office. And with the reemergence of the Republican Party, I feel so much better. I do. I feel like the country is finally going to be back on the right track. Finally, we're going to get to a point where Americans are fighting back against this administration. And I dig it. Honestly, I do. And I hope you do, too. The call-in number is 347-884-8500, and you're on with the C. Robert Jones Conservative Radio Report. Now, on to our main topic. No drama, Obama. Losing his cool. Before we get to this, I'd want to go ahead and play this little clip about the Obama legacy, because I think it's really interesting. And I got this earlier today off of the Fox Nation, which is where I get ideas for a lot of the material I use for the show. If you visit the Fox Nation or the Weekly Standard or places like that, a lot of my ideas come from the articles in that show. But so go ahead and check this out. Let me know what you think. The wrong clip. Ouch. Okay, that's not the right clip. That's the audio version instead of the verbal version of the clip I wanted to play. So there is a mistake for the ages right there. I should have made sure I processed the appropriate clip, so we'll have to get to that a little bit later, and I do apologize for that. Let's move on to the general topic of this particular show right here and right now, and that is Obama, no drama Obama, losing his cool, according to the Washington Times. Something unexpected, the article reads, something unexpected happening along the president's breezy cruise to reelection. No drama Obama is suddenly looking about as calm as Jerry Lewis in a French film. That's funny. About as brave as Ted Kennedy after an evening drive through Chappaquiddick. Witness Team Obama's recent panicky behavior. Number one, Obamanomics anxiety. The White House is reeling as its reverse Midas touch to the economy is being exposed. Its own economists acknowledge that each job created or saved by the so-called stimulus cost taxpayers a whopping $270,000. This is still fantasy land because there are 1.9 million fewer jobs on record now than on the day the stimulus was signed into law. But nonetheless, the quiet pre-holiday Friday night news dump of an announcement reveals the administration's worry. Federal Reserve Chairman Ben S. Bernanke admitted last month that he's clueless why Americans' economic malaise continues. Tax cheats, and Treasury and Treasury Secretary Timothy F. Geithner, who called President Obama's budget unsustainable, wants to abandon ship along with the rest of the economic dream team. Christina Romer and Austin Goolsbee, they're gone. Summers, gone. Meanwhile, the president apparently believes no news is good news. He's put his fingers in his ears. I cannot hear you. And at one point, canceled his daily economic briefing. I wonder why he did that. Did he cancel his daily economic briefing? Why would he do that, folks? Is it possible that he doesn't want to answer questions about how he could how things could be so screwed up? Well, perhaps he'd like to go ahead and blame President Bush. Perhaps. Obamacare waivers. Wild ride. That the White House would exempt its best friends from Obamacare underscores anything you need to know, not only about the deeply flawed healthcare takeover, but also about the White House's embrace of cronyism. Team Obama vigorously defended those waivers right up until the moment when political expediency forced the president to wave them goodbye. About 1,400 get-out-of-jail-free cards later, he thinks you will forget that his union friends were exempt from the rules that you must follow. Look for those waivers to return quietly at some point under a new Obama Ministry of Truth name. Perhaps in accordance with the creative euphemism the administration chose for its Libya war, it will call them perhaps kinetic medical actions. The Afghanistan retreat, the war of necessity of 2008 has become the retreat of political expediency of 2012, timed oh so conveniently for the eve of the election. Rejecting his own general's advice is certainly within a commander-in-chief's prerogative. But when the White House falsely claims that the withdrawal plan was offered by General David H. Petraeus when it was not, can you say lie? Can you say lying so-and-so? Can you? I can say it. Lying ass. Now, there are those who will say, well, he's a politician. That's what they do. Petraeus did not authorize that. According to the testimony of Marine Lieutenant General John R. Allen, the White House reveals its panic. Because Lieutenant General Allen said that Petraeus did not endorse this deal. What's more, the transparent attempt to placate Mr. Obama's base among the anti-war left, rather than reach out to moderates, is evidence itself that there's worry in the White House. Panic at the pump. Gasoline prices have more than doubled since Mr. Obama took office. More than doubled under the George Bush administration. Had this occurred, George Bush would be thrown under the bus. He'd be blamed. It would be all over the news, wouldn't it? We'd all feel a sense that the Bush administration was driving up prices so that they could reap the benefits for their oil crony friends back in Texas. Gasoline prices have more than doubled since Mr. Obama took office, folks. While claiming that increasing the oil supply with new drilling won't affect prices. Economics 101 be damned. The White House offers the window dressing measure of tapping the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, our emergency backup stockpile, his release of 30 million barrels, one day supply, one half is a fraction of the 200 million barrel annual shortfall his Gulf of Mexico drilling has caused. The futility of this gesture underscores the administration's political desperation, at least to be seen as doing something. Panic? Do you think that Mr. Obama will be reelected? Do you think that Mr. Obama will be reelected president of the United States based on all this? What track record does he have, folks? What does he have to run on? He doesn't seem to have any political victories. Southern Sense writes in the chat room that oil producers only earn 5% profit. Indeed, Obama and his propaganda machine. But is he going to win? Because isn't it true that voters vote with their pocketbooks, their wallets? No speech is going to solve the issue of folks going to the pump and paying nearly $4 a gallon. No speech is going to fix that problem. Clumsy. Clumsy class warfare. It's never surprising when liberals segregate Americans into classes for their own political gain. That's more or less their entire political strategy. Nudge a Democrat into his sleep. And he's likely to say, tax the rich, or maybe Bush's fault. What is surprising, however, is how transparently desperate Mr. Obama sounds trying to pull it off. Quote, if we chose to keep a tax break for corporate jet owners, then that means we've got to cut some kids off from getting a college scholarship. It's a desperate president indeed, who would have you believe that success among some Americans causes failure for others. The president's class warfare remarks are, as Marco Rubio, Florida Republican, describes, more appropriate for some left-wing strongman than for the president of the United States. And indeed, I agree. Indeed, I agree. This is the President of the United States of America. He has brought the president down to a level heretofore seen, not seen since Bill Clinton. Remember Bill Clinton? There was the Beverly Hillbillies go to Washington. I mean, he has really taken the presidency down a notch or two or three. class warfare? How is that going to help us? How is that going to help the United States of America with class warfare? The guy is losing it. He's losing it big time, folks. I mean, you got to be kidding, right? Corporate jet owners? What's next? Big Cadillac owners? Those Cadillac CTS owners or those Escalade drivers? Are those folks who eat out at fancy restaurants in old Alexandria, like me? I dropped a little bit of money earlier this evening at a nice restaurant. Pretty soon, Obama's going to point his finger at me and say, you should be eating Kraft macaroni and cheese and hot dogs. Or maybe some tofu. But you went over to that fancy restaurant and you ordered the sea bass and the new potatoes and the baby carrots. And that cost you $45. Now, yeah, you could go ahead and buy yourself some celery. Eat a all-beef hot dog. And give the rest of that money to some poor person. Billy says in the chat room, how can you lose something you never had? But Barack Obama would have you believe that corporate jet owners are responsible for keeping some kid from going to college. How amazing is that? It's keeping a kid from going to college, folks. Because a guy's flying a corporate jet. But what about the pilot who's getting paid, who uses the money to feed his family? What about the fuel? What about the fuel it costs to fly that jet, the maintenance workers? What about the person who owns or maintains the hangar, the ground crew, the folks in the tower? Oh, Mr. Obama would have you believe that a fat cat flying a corporate jet is evil. Southern Sense writes in the chat room, instead of a beer summit, it'd be a Colt 45 or MD 2020. I've never had Mad Dog 2020, but I tell you what, I heard it's damn tasty and it'll knock you out. I don't know how true that is. I might have to taste some at some point. It might be all I can afford once this guy's done with me. Class warfare. Blame the rich person. Blame the person who's doing well. He does say that there is a point when he believes that a person has made too much money. He actually said that. There is a point where he believes that you and me have made too much money. Did you hear what I just said? He said that there is a point where you and I have made too much money. How much money is that? And how does he get to decide who makes too much money? Isn't that what it's all about? To make a little money? Listen to this clip. I'll be right back.
Study economics. A free economy will not break down. All depressions are caused by government interference.
That we should strip away regulations, consumer protections, let the market run wild, and prosperity would rain down on all of us. It hasn't worked out that way.
The cure is always offered so far to take more of the poison that caused the disaster.
And so now we've got to take some decisive action. This plan's one reason that mortgage interest rates are now at near historic lows. To that end, we've launched a program designed to support the markets for more affordable auto loans, student loans, and small business loans. a program that's already securitized more of this lending in the last week than in the last 4 months combined.
Depressions are not a result of a free economy. Labor leaders get together to initiate legislation to help labor. That is only acting on the same principle, namely all parties agreeing that it is proper for the state to legislate in favor of one economic group or another.
Middle class need a rescue package. It means help for homeowners so that they can stay in their homes. It means that we are helping state and local governments set up road projects and bridge projects. You need somebody working for you, and you've got to have somebody in Washington who's thinking about the middle class and not just those who can afford to hire lobbyists.
The country is run by majority rule through ballot, and that majority seems to prefer to vote for this modified welfare state.
Oh, I don't believe that. You know as well as I do that the majority today has no choice.
As President of the United States, Alan, I would order the Secretary of the Treasury to immediately buy up the bad home loan mortgages in America.
The second step we took was to launch a plan to stabilize the housing market. Yesterday, Secretary Geithner announced a new plan that will partner government resources with private investment to buy up the assets that are preventing our banks from lending money.
What do you mean?
The majority has never been offered a choice between control and freedom.
Until we stabilize home values in America, we're never going to start turning around and creating jobs.
The strategy to create jobs?
And fixing our economy.
That's why we put in place a comprehensive strategy designed to attack this crisis on all fronts. But we must remember that we can get there if we travel that road as one nation, as one people.
Is that not true?
No, it isn't.
Oh.
This country was made not by robber barons, but by independent men, by industrialists who succeeded on sheer ability.
And
who
having...
By ability, I mean without political force, help, or compulsion.
All right, we have a call on the line. What you just heard was Barack Obama versus Ayn Rand. All right, we have a call on the line. The C. Robert Jones Conservative Radio Report. Hi,
hello,
caller.
Dr. Jones. How are you doing?
Good, how are you?
Good. Now, you were just saying that Obama said, he actually said that there are some people that earn too much money. Can you tell me what this illustrious leader believes is too much money?
He didn't say, and that question was asked of him, and he hemmed and hawed around the question. I guess he didn't have a teleprompter handy to tell him what to say, so he just kind of hemmed and hawed and dismissed the response and pointed to another member of the core. But he did say this. These are his actual words. They're on record. You can find them anywhere on the net. That there is a point where he believes that a person has made too much money. And I found that to be shocking.
Yes, indeed.
And appalling. And completely in keeping with his leftist ideology.
But as a leftist himself, does he not realize that, like, the majority of the tax revenue that is collected by this country and his own government comes from probably the richest 2 or 3% of the people?
Yes, but he believes that when he says that he believes that we've made too much money, he means that some of that more of that money that we have made honestly through hard work and effort and perseverance should come to the federal government so that he could redistribute it. The idea of redistribution of wealth is not just a slogan with this guy. He means it. He means
I know that quite well.
Indeed. He wants to redistribute the wealth of those of us who have worked 16, 17, 18-hour days. Take the money that he doesn't think we don't need, you know, take the cream off the top, and go ahead and give it to somebody else. It's complete redistribution of wealth.
But where's the government going to get that money if not from the top 2 or 3% of the wage earners?
Well, I don't know.
There you go.
I don't know.
It was nice talking to you, Doctor. I appreciate it very much.
Well, thank you for the call. I do appreciate you calling in.
Have a great day.
Thank you so much. You too.
Bye.
All right, so here we go. Great call. the President of the United States is seeking to redistribute wealth. Now, we haven't gotten to Joe Biden after this class warfare fiasco that the President has engaged in is clearly transparent. And Joe Biden, well, he can't be forgotten. The boot buzz is what it's called. The rumors that Team Obama will drop Vice President Joseph R. Biden from the 2012 ticket in favor of New York Governor Andrew Cuomo are just that, rumors, and will go nowhere. But the interesting point is that they exist at all. Their origin almost certainly lies within insider Democrat circles and reveals two points. One, no confidence in the gaffe-tastic vice president. And who can blame him? The guy's a walking moron. And two, worry that his presence could doom the ticket. Rumors of the vice president's imminent departure are nothing new, but they never seem to swell around re-election shoe-ins. The 2012 election may be the most consequential of our lifetime. There's no doubt about that. It will be the most consequential of our lifetime, and it's obviously far too early to predict its results, but that's the point. The White House has conceded the inevitability factor. The bloom is off the Obama rose, and Team Obama knows it. Now, yes, I do recall hearing that Eisenhower was strongly considering dropping Vice President Nixon from the ticket for his reelection effort. But it didn't have anything to do with Nixon being incompetent and stupid and saying really stupid and dumb things. And as it turns out, the rumors were true. But Nixon was able to he was able to pull a really nice end run around the president and demand in the public that he be given a vote of confidence. And then at that point, Eisenhower, being a man of honor, had no choice but to state publicly that Nixon would, in fact, be on the ticket. But here's the thing. The president of the United States is running scared. He has nothing to run on. He has no like the article says, the article I've been reading from the New York Times, no drama Obama losing his cool. And that's just what's happening. The guy's losing his cool. In July is make or break for Team Obama. July is a critical month for Obama and his 2012 campaign. The outcome of the debt ceiling debate could determine his reelection chances next year. Obama can't win reelection this month, but he can lose it if the deal to raise the debt ceiling hurts him with either Democrats or independents. He could also lose if negotiations fail altogether and the economy is left in a shambles. Obama's fate is tied to the economy, folks. And without a debt deal, markets could go haywire with potentially catastrophic damage to the economic recovery, according to Obama's own economic team. With a deal, the economy gets a needed boost, and Obama shows Wall Street and independents that he is a leader who brings people together and solves problems. It's a facade. It's certainly not true, but at least he gives the perception. The economy is key to the president's reelection, and a sensible budget deal is key to the economy because there simply isn't much confidence right now that Washington can get it right. But you know what? Obama is stuck in the mode of activist. He is stuck in the mode of community organizer. He is not going to toss his ideology out the window. in favor of doing the right thing for the United States of America, for the American people. He's going to hang on to the last minute, and I dare say that he will allow the debt ceiling not to be raised in an attempt to blame the GOP. Because he's just that desperate. And his ideology is more important than what's really best for the United States of America. Seriously, this country's in deep trouble, and we have a president at the helm who has no idea what he's doing. Or maybe he knows exactly what he's doing. Does anyone agree? Listen to this.
Britt Hume has some thoughts on how the White House is dealing with the economy right now. Good evening, Britt.
Hi, Brett. The evidence mounts that no one in the high councils of the Obama administration has an idea of how to get the economy out of its current rut. Senior Advisor David Axelrod recited the familiar litany on Sunday. You know, we inherited a huge mess from George W. Bush. The stimulus really has made things better. Yes, we need tough new financial regulations to avert another scandalous Wall Street collapse. He insisted the administration is not anti-business, and it may not be. But the president has never worked for, let alone run a business, and nearly all those around him are from the worlds of politics, government, and academia. The possibility that businesses are not investing in hiring because of deep uncertainty about everything from taxes to credit to regulation seems lost on them. They believe deeply that the driving force in a robust economy is aggregate demand, and that dispensing cash through government spending is the way to stimulate that demand. But what seems to be needed now is not just investment to meet current demand for products. What's needed now is investment in the expectation that the products produced will themselves create demand, and that the rewards for taking the risk will not be taxed away by a government insatiable for revenue to cover its spending and insistent upon ever more regulation to keep greedy businesses in line. In other words, lower taxes, lighter regulation, and less government spending. The exact opposite of the policies now in place. Brett?
Brett, what do you think the likelihood is that this administration will heed the advice or recommendations of this debt commission?
Well, remember, the debt commission does not report till after the fall election. And
the
political landscape may look very different indeed then. The big majorities the Democrats have enjoyed are likely to be gone. They may even be the minority party on Capitol Hill. The situation for President Obama may be very different. So the big challenge he may decide to face then is not more social spending, not new big government entitlement programs or further such programs, but tackling perhaps this debt problem. And if he does that, the commission may be the roadmap, and he might find a lot of Republican support for it.
But
might.
This administration, you could see shifting that much?
That's why I said might.
All right, Britt, thanks.
Okay, so there you have it. Now, this the piece that you just heard was taken was last year, but I played it because it speaks so evidently to what's going on right now. As it happens, things in this White House simply do not change. He knows exactly what he's doing, Billy. Billy writes in the chat room, Obama knows what he's doing. Bring the United States down, exactly, only to reshape it and remake it into what he wants it to be to fundamentally transform the United States of America. I want to thank everybody for listening tonight. New 112, one of my favorite people, one of my favorite blog talk radio hosts, Southern Sense. Please listen to her show. Billy's in the house, assorted guest. Please tune in to Conservative TNT. I'm not sure when he's on now. Someone said that he's on at 3 in the morning. Ouch. And, of course, GGT and Cool Mike on at 11:30. Thank you so much for being here. You guys are great. Thank you for taking time out of your busy evenings to listen to the show. I do appreciate it. I really do. Thank you so much. I hope everyone has a wonderful evening, and we'll be back. Tesla's show is going to be on Friday, so I'm not going to do a show on Friday because I want to listen to Tesla's show. If Tesla doesn't do a show at 9 p.m., I'll be on. But if he does, I'll be on his show. So tune in tomorrow. Let's listen to Tesla. He's back, I hope, tomorrow night at 9. All right. Thank you so much. Thank you. everybody have a great night. Love y'all.
Right. You're out.
Dream.